Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, May 4th, 2012. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, how is everyone doing today? I hope you've had a good week. A lot of things going on. The weather's getting warmer. Events are breaking out all over the place. And of course, it's a sign of just the good weather and the season, which is always a lot of fun. Anyway, I'm really feeling excited. I had a great day yesterday. I started a class. In fact, it was the very first day of a class. It's going to be once a month, at least initially. And the class is going to be held in Baltimore County in the city of Cockeysville, Maryland, which is the home of the Historical Society of Baltimore County. Well, on the grounds of the Historical Society is also, well, the building itself is the Historic Almshouse, and on the grounds is the Historic Pest House, which was also a house that was built in the 1870s. And this was a house where people who were suffering from really incurable diseases went. But that house is going to be the future home of the Lewis S. Diggs Center for African American Culture. And it's going to be a wonderful resource center. The center already exists already in terms of its members and an active board. And the center is going to start offering classes once a month. Well, yesterday was the first class, and it turned out really well. There were seven people who came. What a great day, full of questions. Some were very, very, very basic beginners. Others were a little bit more experienced. Some had exhausted census records and didn't know what to do after that. So we had a lot of things to talk about, and I was just really excited with their enthusiasm. Anyway, I'm going to put some information there for you. It's going to be, the class will be held the first Thursday of the month, every month, at the Historical Society of Baltimore County, at the main house, which is the Historic Almshouse. And I will put a link for you so you can learn a little bit more about what's going on. Well, things are taking place, as I said, all over the place. A word coming out of Atlanta. There is going to be a special tour of, actually, it's a historically documented tour called Labor Behind the Veil, the History of Slaves and Free Persons at Georgia's Old Governor's Mansion from 1839 to 1868. Now, this is going to give this historic tour, which, for those of you who are familiar with Georgia, this is going to be in Milledgeville, Georgia, on South Clark Street. And the tour itself is going to provide a glimpse of the working lives of men and women who lived and worked on the grounds of the governor's mansion. And I'm really glad to see this kind of tour. I know that one of the leaders in terms of developing historic tours really told or reflecting the lives of the majority of the inhabitants, who were the workers, the slaves. One of the people who really started that kind of tour was one of my favorite authors, Dorothy Sproul Redford, and she is the author of Somerset Homecoming. Many of you are familiar with the book. Well, she became, after her book came out, she became within a very short time really the director at Somerset Plantation, and which was where her ancestors had once been enslaved. But she particularly wanted to make sure that the story of the lives of the majority of the people were told. You know, a lot of historic homes, especially historic homes in the South, they give you these tours of these very grand mansions, talk about what sort of decor is used, talk about the furniture, and never mention the slaves. Well, Dorothy Sproul Redford started that trend well over 20 years ago, more 30 years ago. And many historic places have now begun to incorporate telling the story of these historic estates, but incorporating the lives of the enslaved people who kept those grounds, who kept those homes in order. And it's something that I'm really excited to see that now in Atlanta, Labor Behind the Veil tours are now starting up. I'm putting some information for you. These tours are going to be taking place Tuesdays through Saturdays, 10 to 4, and also on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. There is a contact phone number for you, and I'm putting that on the podcast website so you can take a look at that. So, I'm glad to hear that's coming out of Atlanta and just wanted to mention that. By the way, did you catch Bernice Bennett's show last night? She had a good group of listeners who tuned in to hear Thomas McKenty, who many of us know from the Genie Bloggers radio program. Well, he gave a presentation. He was a guest on her show, and his topic was a slightly different one. You know, we as genealogists are always researching our ancestors and those who've passed away. Well, his topic was a little bit different, researching the living. It was a great show, and her second guest, Michael Williams, told his story about searching for his family. This is a young man who was raised in the foster care system in New York and who really went through an amazing effort to also find the living. In his case, to find his own family. A lot of good discussion took place on that show. If you did not hear it, it is archived. You can listen to her show every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you miss it, just go to Blog Talk Radio, type in the name Bernice Bennett, and you can listen to the archived version of the show. Again, it was another great show to listen to, and I think that you may enjoy hearing some of that dialogue that took place last night. I wanted to mention also that also in Atlanta, boy, they're really busy down in Georgia. There's going to be a lecture that is coming up at the Lovett School. Lovett School, for those of you who know the Atlanta area, is on Paces Ferry Road in Northwest Atlanta. And there's going to be a presentation by Dr. Edward Ayers, who is president of the University of Richmond. And he's going to be giving a presentation on a topic that I appreciate in particular. And that topic is, where did freedom come from? This is something that I particularly enjoy talking about because, you know, many African American genealogists spend a lot of time, once they exhaust the census, they get to 1870, they hit the wall, they don't know where to go, and then they begin the next exercise of trying to identify the last known slaveholder. Well, one of the things that I personally believe is that many people, yes, it is important to know who that last slaveholder was, but before you begin that search, there's a story that's missing. If you know that they were enslaved in 1860, you see them free in 1870. What happened? 1860, they were enslaved. 1870, they were no longer enslaved. Well, obviously, something very dramatic took place. Something so dramatic that it affected the rest of their lives. It turned the direction of the family completely around forever, thankfully. But how many people have sought the story of how freedom came? So I was delighted to see this particular lecture that Dr. Ayers is going to be presenting. Now, this is part of a 4-year series to mark what is still going on, the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, and for many, of course, in Atlanta, the Battle of Atlanta. And this is going to be a lecture that is free and open to the public. There are reservations that are required, but I'll put that contact information also for you there on the website. By the way, speaking of Georgia, how many of you have actually had a chance to visit the Georgia Archives Virtual Vault? That is such a wonderful site. Like many archives, they are continually digitizing records and placing them up for view. Well, there's going to be a webinar that's going to be coming up featuring Kayla Barrett of the Georgia Archives, and I'm going to put some information on this webinar, which is going to really show you how to utilize the virtual vault. I absolutely love this site. I've used it before. I've mentioned it in the past. It's been at least well over a year and a half since I first mentioned it, and they have added so much more since that time. So I do hope, if you are interested, that you will consider taking a look at that and listening to that webinar. I think you're really going to appreciate it. And you know, I mention these things not just for researchers who have that particular state in common. I say all the time, you know, pay attention to archives from other states, particularly because in some cases they are holding documents from a state that's not even their particular state. For whatever reason, someone may have moved there, someone may have had ties there, and ended up donating their papers there. You can never, ever, ever write off looking at any list of holdings from any state archives. There's so much good that's going on all the time. By the way, tomorrow is Saturday. For those of you in Maryland, if you are so inclined, and I think the weather is actually going to be pretty good. Well, there is going to be a special presentation at the Reginald Lewis Museum, which is also going to coincide with the Baltimore chapter of AUGS, the Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society. However, if you are so inclined, you might want to take a ride. I suggest that you consider taking a ride across the Bay Bridge and going to the Eastern Shore and participate in the Frederick Douglass Day that's going to be held at the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum. Now you might say, well, okay, that sounds nice, but why would I go out of my way to go and participate in something that is probably mostly a local event for local people? Well, there's going to be a genealogy workshop for beginners. How do I begin? This is going to be presented by Noreen Goodson from 10:30 to 12:30. It's going to be in the auditorium of the Steamboat Building there. And I think that you may want to take advantage. Noreen is an excellent teacher. She's a retired teacher herself, and she has been teaching beginner classes to people for quite a long time. And one of the things, in fact, she was there with me today at the Historical Society of Baltimore County and co-teaching the class. And what a wonderful job that she did. One of the things that I particularly like is that she's able to explain very basic concepts for individuals, especially for those who really are not quite sure what record to use, what record to use next, how to understand where to go. So you find someone in the 1920 census. What do you do next? Where do you go? Well, she explains the larger picture to you quite well. She is going to be giving a presentation, as I said, at the Frederick Douglass Day celebration at the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum. Now, there is a fee to participate in all the activities, and they have things going on the entire day. They have all kinds of workshops. There are workshops of interest to those who have an interest in 19th century life and living, those who have an interest in what it was like to live on the Chesapeake Bay. This is, after all, going to be at the Maritime Museum. So if you have an opportunity, or if you are so inclined, take a ride to the Eastern Shore. St. Michael's is absolutely gorgeous, And I think it would be a wonderful way to spend a beautiful spring day. Some information coming. Oh, by the way, I want to mention something about the blogs. You know, I'm a blogger. I have 3 blogs myself, and I follow. I like to read what others are doing. I follow a number of people who are amazing writers, and particularly those whom I follow or those whom I admire the most are those who tell a story. And the stories I like to read are the research stories. How did one find some data? How did they reach the conclusions that they reached? And what resources did they utilize to even find the documents that they were able to pull up? Well, I want to encourage you to start to consider making, at least if nothing else, I'm not going to try and talk you into blogging today, but I will on another day. I want you to start reading some good blogs. And I have a blog that I want to recommend for you. And if you're looking sometimes for someone to give you tips on how to solve some genealogical dilemmas in which you found yourself, well, I urge you to explore the writings of Melvin Collier. Now, many of you already know Melvin. He has 2 books already, very well written, Mississippi to Africa, and his second book, 150 Years Later, A Family Reunited. Well, guess what? Melvin now has a blog, and his blog is one of those blogs that I think that many people should just bookmark it or certainly subscribe to the feed, the RSS feed, and follow it. It's called Roots Revealed. Now, what I particularly like is that he's really talking to you, the reader. He's just not out there sort of babbling to the wind. No, no. He's telling you, the reader, what he did, or you, the reader, what he was able to conclude. He has, for example, a current post about his experience as a genealogist, and in particular as a genealogist who used DNA as a tool in learning more about his own family history. Well, his recent post on his blog shows how he connected with another person in one of his family lines. And if you've ever read anything or if you've read his book, you know he has researched the Danner family and the Bobo family. Well, he was able to make a connection with another person from this line, and this was through DNA testing. He's really, I guess, not just one who can tell a good story. He's a storyteller. It's wonderful the way he takes you on that research journey. But you also learn a lot by reading his blog about persistence, about focus, and about concentration on the task at hand. And take a look at how he even explains how he was able to reach a conclusion that this person was indeed a relative and how they connected. It's a great read, and I just strongly, strongly encourage you to take a look. So I'm going to recommend that as a blog to read, at least for this week. I wanted to also mention something. Afrogenius.com has over 26 message boards. Well, one of the things that I encourage you to do is to at least scan, I'm not going to say all 26, you can't do that every day, but scan one or two, you know, and scan another two on another day. There's a fascinating thread, and it got me really thinking. And someone, I have seen this thread on 2 different sites. One is on Afrogenius, and it also popped up the same thread or a similar thread on one of the Facebook groups communities that I belong to. Well, it was a recommendation. You're familiar, of course, with the NBC program. In fact, don't forget tonight, the NBC program, Who Do You Think You Are? Well, there is also a British version of the series. And if you've not had a chance to see the British version, it's worthwhile. That is the original series, by the way. Many people don't know that Who Do You Think You Are actually began in Britain. And it was then decided Lisa Kudrow, who's the executive producer, was able to convince executives at NBC to launch a similar show here in the U.S. But I encourage you also, as it was suggested on the thread on Afrogenius and on the thread on Facebook, to take a look at some of the British episodes. One in particular was of interest. There is a man in Britain whose origins are from Jamaica, and his name is Ainsley Harriott. He's a popular chef. He's a television chef in Britain, and many people know who he is. And he was one of the featured guests on the British version of Who Do You Think You Are? In this particular episode, number one, because he had come, or his family had come to Britain from Jamaica, it was another way of looking at an African ancestored family with roots in the Americas on the island of Jamaica, and to follow him as he went through his journey. And keep in mind that, and many people tend to forget, because a person is from the Caribbean, if they are of African ancestry, they got there the same way that most of our ancestors got here in North America. Certainly the Caribbean islands, or the West Indies, are part of the Americas, and slave ships from the coast of Africa were throughout the Americas, north, south, central, as well as the Caribbean. Well, in this particular episode, we follow, the viewer follows Ainsley Harriott as he explores his family history. And you see him as he goes back to Jamaica and he starts following the leads. The archivist at the Jamaican Archives is very, very helpful. In fact, I had watched another episode of the British version, and I recognized the lady. I don't even know her name, but I recognized her from another episode that I had watched. However, what's quite interesting is that you see this gentleman who is coming from, or his ancestors, his parents came from a country in which they were the majority, coming from Jamaica, but he's confronted with the reality of slavery, and not just when slavery ended in Jamaica, but he's able to go back even farther, and you see him as he's trying to analyze what he's seeing. He sees his ancestors as property. He also, on two different lines, realizes that two of his ancestors were not only enslaved by a person whose name was identified, but was also fathered by that same individual. So you see him as he's confronting that. Same story, just a different location, but very, very poignant, very well done, very, very revealing. And one of the things that I think it makes certainly those of us who are African ancestored people living in America to realize that, yes, the diaspora is very, very widespread. And as I said, of course, it's throughout the Americas, but one has to realize that we confront this story, whether our ancestors are from the islands, from Central America, South America, or North America. And it was very interesting to watch and follow him on that journey. I liked the show also because you see that his history wasn't just sort of been given to him in a nice little format. He was going along on that research journey. You saw him as he was processing the facts, as he saw this plaque in this church about to crumble that mentioned an ancestor who was also a slaveholder. And you see him trying to process that. And it was just very revealing. And I think as a person who is a genealogist, it makes me glad to see that people even outside of America who share African ancestry a history similar to ours here in North America, they are also pursuing and asking and finding results. And that was something that was really good to see. And I was happy to see that the thread moved from Facebook and moved over to Afrogenius as well. I think that it's one of those things that we must think in a global way. And this is something that I think opened a lot of eyes for many of the viewers who had not seen it. Speaking of international experiences, or people who are, you know, crisscrossing the ocean looking for their history or asking questions, as we ask questions about ourselves, about our families, about our past, I have been following and have I won't say befriended, I guess it's liked, that's the word, that's the verb, on Facebook. I've liked a group on Facebook, and I'm a member of the group, and thankfully, I'm really excited to see that Facebook, like other sites, well, and I don't know if this is Facebook doing this or is this a function of Google Chrome that I use, because I do know that when I'm on certain websites, if they are foreign websites written in another language, I do know that Google Chrome does translate the language into English. Well, anyway, I belong to a group. It's out of Brazil. It's called A Verdade, Genealogia e Historia, which is, of course, genealogy and history. You can tell that that's what that means. But I was fascinated because I was curious, you know, what exactly, you know, what does Abegad mean? It wasn't similar to Abegado in Spanish. This was something that was a little bit different, and I was trying to determine what it meant. And thankfully, through the wonderful translation feature on Google Chrome, I got a wonderful translation of what Abegad is. And it is an acronym. And wow, what a great acronym. Abegad is an acronym that stands for, and this is my rough translation of it, in Brazilian, or Brazilian, listen to me, in Portuguese, it is Associação Brasileira de Estudos de Genealogia Afrodescendente e Historia da África. As you can tell, it is the Brazilian Association for Genealogy and Descendant Studies and History of Africa. What a wonderful group. Well, the group itself is a fascinating one. If you follow me on Facebook, you will see that it's one of the groups that I belong to. They have, or I'm a friend of the group. They have over 1,200 friends on the group as well. Most of their posts are in Portuguese, but there's a translation feature that's right there, and you can see what they are. And some of the photographs are hauntingly beautiful. I just can't emphasize how stunning so many of the photographs are. What I particularly enjoy, and I do know a little bit about Brazil, and particularly the community in the city of Bahia. Bahia is a very, very, very African city, very Yoruba city. Many of the people in Brazil really are descendants of Yorubas from Nigeria. And because of the strong Yoruba influence, in fact, there are people in Brazil today, there are elders who speak the old Yoruba language. And when I say old Yoruba, I mean the language that my mother-in-law would speak. My mother-in-law, my husband, is Nigerian, born in Ghana of Nigerian parents, and they are Yorubas. And my mother-in-law and, well, my husband's whole family, of course, they are all multilingual. And my mother-in-law spoke several variations of Yoruba, and she spoke an elder version, I guess I could say, of Yoruba as well as contemporary. But there are many people who still live in Bahia today who descend from Yoruba slaves and who were taken to Brazil, as they say, Brasil. And as I understand, sometimes they can communicate with some of the elders because they use some of the older words that have sort of passed out of the vernacular, but they have retained it. So it's kind of fascinating. But I was excited to see that here was a group of individuals who are talking about their history and their genealogy. And there was a wonderful post in the group that I saw, and the particular post went on about surnames, how certain surnames were kept and how certain surnames evolved into other surnames in Portuguese. And it was just a fascinating thing to see an appreciation of naming patterns and things that we talk about here in America, naming patterns or how one name might evolve into another version. How exciting to see that and to see individuals who share a similar history, just with a different geographic experience, to see them doing the same thing. And I guess of late it has become very, very obvious to me that we need to think about our sisters and brothers, our Brazilian brothers and sisters, our Caribbean brothers and sisters who are there. We're all members of the family, and as we've been, several of us who are members of the African American Genealogy Group on Facebook, as well as Our Black Ancestry, and as well as an Afrogenius, many have been discovering the family in Britain, in the UK. Well, the family is all over the world, and I'm just thrilled to see a lot of activity coming from Brazil, coming from the family there, and they are also asking questions about their history. They're pursuing it. They're talking about the things that we talk about. And fortunately, as I said, I don't know if it's a feature of the browser that I'm using, but you can translate it. That feature is there, and what a joy to see it and to read it. So I encourage you, well, encourage all of us to think in a global way about ourselves and what we do, and to pay attention to the family, to the South, to the islands, and across the Atlantic as well. There's a lot that we have to share with each other, a lot that we have to learn from each other as well. And I need to stop talking. Look at the time. You know, wow, there's so much going on. I could say so much more. But time goes by so quickly. I appreciate you, as you know, for being there, and want to make sure that certainly, if you have any questions, please keep your notices and your letters coming to me. I really appreciate knowing what's going on. And thank you to the folks from Georgia who were sharing all those wonderful things with me and letting me know what's going on. I love hearing from you all. And, of course, I just love it knowing that you're there and taking time out to listen to me. I know you have a lot to do. We all do. But I appreciate your being there nevertheless. In the meantime, please keep doing what you do, and you know what that is. Have a great week, and of course, keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everybody. Be well, be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.